So today is 28 days. We begin our 28 days of prayer and fasting. We have a new year. Yahoo! We got a new vision. We possibly going to be bringing on new staff member. And we just got into our second floor. I mean, this is all new stuff. It's all the things the Lord's doing. It's a wonderful time to be a part of the church here. I believe, anybody else? Okay, we've got them all. Thanks, John. I believe that this is a building year. 2016 is a building year. We've gone through a year of transition, a year of kind of letting go of some of the old, of tearing down. It's been a season of just sort of some past, letting go of some things of the past. And this is a season right now, and I'm not talking about the year, but I'm talking about the season that we're in, the place that we're in. It is a new season as a church. It is this building, this expansion season. And in a couple of weeks, in fact, it's the week that Doug's going to be here, I'll be talking about the vision of our church and just laying out some of that for you. And it will be our 2020 vision. Say that with me, our 2020 vision. Yeah, it just kind of works out. So for the next 5 years, from 2016 to 2020, we're going to be looking at doing some new things around here, having a new identity. So the prayer and fasting, what is it about? It's preparing ourselves for these 28 days, is preparing ourselves for the new vision, for the new year, for the new season, the new place that we're walking into as a church body. So what about fasting? Let me ask you, how many have ever done fasting? If you've ever done any type of fasting, raise your hand. All right, okay. So how many would say, honestly, and no shame, there is absolutely no shame in this. How many say, I've never fasted before? Never fasted, okay? Very good. So I want to talk about what it means to fast. It is one of the spiritual practices, one of the spiritual disciplines that we are to participate in. Now listen, hey, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about fasting. You're thinking there'd be a lot about it. I mean, there's times where it says, and they fasted, but it doesn't say, and this is how you fast. Jesus does give us some indication, but there's not like with prayer or with tithing or with serving, other things that are very clear in the Bible. In fact, as you do sort of a survey of fasting in the Bible, the only times that they really fasted were during incredibly serious times in the life of either the early church or the life of Israel. I mean, times where it looked like they were going to be destroyed, or times of great hardship, times where it was very important that they knew exactly who the leadership was going to be. You see that in the New Testament church. I think there's just really only two occasions in the New Testament church where they fasted, and it was about leadership. In the Old Testament, what you see is they're about to be destroyed. You know, it's awful. Esther and this terrible persecution that was coming upon the Israelites, they fasted and prayed. And so there's not an incredible amount on there. But let me give you kind of the key idea of what fasting is. It is giving up physical needs, and I would add this, not only physical needs, or something of significance for spiritual gain. Giving up physical needs or something of significance for spiritual gain. It's connecting with God. What you're trying to do is, I just want to know God on a deeper level. Here, listen right here, James 4:8. Let me tell you, this is the basis of our fasting right here, James 4:8. Draw near to me, God says, and I will what? I will draw near to you. Simple. You draw near to me with prayer and fasting. I added that, and God says, and I will draw near to you. I mean, that's a simple thing, right? Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That's what we're trying to do during this time, these 28 days. We're drawing near to God, so He will draw near to us. And let me tell you about my experience with fasting, besides just always being hungry or, you know, wanting to eat, okay? Besides that, there are two things that happen to me when I fast. One is this: I get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, it may be different for everybody in this room. I'm not overlaying this and saying it should happen to you this way as well. But for me, what happens is I get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm able to pick up upon things more quickly than when I'm full or when I'm not fasting. Second thing that happens for me is that my prayer gets more intense. And by that, it may mean it gets louder. I don't know. But what it means is I'm able to enter into God's presence a lot quicker. And the prayer becomes more intense. It may not be longer, it may not be louder, but there is more power behind it. And so that's what I mean when I'm saying about intensity in prayer. I'd like for you, if you would, go ahead and look at your prayer and fasting guide then with me here. And so what we're going to do at the end of this time is we're going to kind of do a little bit of this together in James 1. And as you look at week 1, week 2, and the following, you'll see that we're not doing it every day. Now, you can do it every day. Go for it. I mean, fast the entire time. Pray. But we're doing it 5 days a week. Because these were four books, James, 1 Peter, 1 Thessalonians, and 1 John, who had five chapters. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be reading a chapter a day. And not just reading it, but praying it out. What is the Lord highlighting? You know, when you read a scripture, sometimes the Lord just highlights something. He says, okay, that's what you need to pray out for yourself or for whomever. And then you have a specific prayer point each day. As you see, the one here is to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, remove sin and lies of the enemy from your life. And again, that's just a prayer point. You can add your own. This is just to help us out to have a kind of common focus. And then as you look at the fasting, here's some ideas with fasting. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do kind of a progressive thing. I suggest it here. And it may be that, for instance, I think I used the idea of I'm not going to eat desserts the first week. And then the second week, I'm not going to eat desserts and I'm not going to drink sodas. And the third week, I'm not going to, eat sweets, drink sodas, or drink tea or something. I don't know. Just where you're adding on each week. And that way it becomes a little bit more serious for you and your commitment on this thing. Again, you can decide what it is. I would encourage everybody to have at least some food and related there, because food is a common thing that affects all of us, And sometimes when we don't get enough food, it really reveals what's in our heart. So that may not be a bad thing. But it can be from electronics, it can be movies, it can be TV. That's honestly between you and God. I'm not going to judge that. But take this time, this opportunity to draw near to God through this prayer and fasting. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't lay out exactly what they fasted from. Sometimes it says they didn't eat anything or they didn't drink anything. Some call a Daniel fast. It's really not called a Daniel fast. It's just a Daniel meal plan, really, is what it is. It's found in Daniel chapter 1. And in that meal plan, Daniel and his friends, all they ate were fruits and vegetables and water. That was it. And he encouraged the other young men who were taken captive to eat the same thing, and eventually they did as well. But it can be, you decide. It can be from food, whatever, money, pleasures. Isaiah chapter 58 gives you some great ideas that are different types of fast. In Isaiah 58, God says, I am tired, essentially, of the way you're fasting. Quit fasting that way, which was to give up food. He said, instead, I would rather you take care of the needs of people around you. So maybe that your fast is, I'm going to look for an opportunity to bless other people financially or giving my time to them, resources to them in some way, shape. Giving up of, he says, I wish you would take care of the poor. I wish you would reach out to them. That is true fasting to me. And again, what's fasting? It's a way giving up something to draw near to God. So he'll draw near to you. Now, the one place in Scripture where we do have an example of fasting is Matthew chapter 4. So go ahead and turn there in your Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. As we look at how Jesus used fasting in his life. Jesus here is at his weakest point in his life, save the Garden of Gethsemane. But here at the beginning of his ministry life, he's incredibly weak. Because of his 40-day fast. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So he knew, evidently, I'm going to be tempted by the devil. So he knew this is what's going to happen. All right? For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. I don't think it was complete fast. I would assume he drank water here. But he didn't eat food. And during that time, in other words, all during that time, not just at the end of the fast, but during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. And Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what I want you to see are three things about fasting, how fasting affected Jesus' life. First one is this. Fasting gave him, and it gives us, power over our natural appetites. Power over our natural appetites. Listen, he said, no. People don't just live by bread. They live by the Word. I mean, haven't you ever had those times, I would hope this would be true of all of us here, where we've just said, man, I just want to read the Word. I just want to, the Word is what I need. I need that Word in my life. I mean, what has drawn some of you here today is because you need the Word. You say, man, I need a Word from God. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You know people who live by bread alone, and they're hollow people. But you live by the Word, also by the Word of God. And so he says, fasting gives us power over our natural appetites. I mean, how much of our pleasantness is due to having food? Not only just having food, but food cooked a certain way. At the right... How many of us, we get upset if the food isn't the right temperature? It's too hot! It's too cold! And then we just got this attitude. I'm hungry now. Give me food now. You know? Yeah, hangry, is that what you said? Yeah, that's right. That's what my wife says about me. I'm hangry. You're hangry. I got to have it now. How much of our pleasantness is due because we got food the way we wanted it, or our unpleasantness is due because we didn't get the food the way we wanted it? The right temperature, the certain order, whatever. If those things happen, if we get what we want, then we're pleasant. But when we don't, it reveals something about us. What happens when we don't, when electricity goes out in our life? When, you know, when electricity just goes out. Yeah. What happens? We get this, you know, and naturally so. I mean, we got a lot of things attached to electricity and such like that. But a lot of times it just reveals how dependent we are on other things to make us happy. You mean I got to sit in this room by candlelight and talk to these people? I don't want to do that. Give me my cell phone. It's so much more interesting. You know, whatever. I mean, honestly, this stuff reveals things about our heart when we have it or we don't have it. So fasting puts our natural appetites in the right place. It subjugates them to our spirit. We don't have to be controlled by food. We need food, all right, we need food. But we don't have to be controlled by, attitude doesn't have to be controlled by food. But by every word that comes from God. It gives us power over our natural appetites. It also gives us power over pride. Look at verses 5 through 7. So then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, so here he is at the top of the temple. It's interesting, wonder, how did the devil do this? I don't know. But there he is. He's there. It's not like a vision or whatever. He's at the top of the temple. And the devil says to him, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he's quoting here, I believe it's Psalm 91, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Don't you test him. Don't you tempt God. Jesus, we'll put you at the top of here. Everybody will be below. It's Jerusalem. There will be a crowd. It's the temple. You'll be on the top of the temple like you run the place. I mean, only holy people can be at the top of the temple. And you'll come down and the angels will hold you. And they'll see those angels. And they'll see you touching the ground. And they'll follow you. It was appealing to his pride. I mean, Jesus had given in. People would have followed him for all the wrong reasons. They would have said, man, I saw the guy. I saw the angels. He's the guy. I was there. It was incredible. They would have followed him because of the magic, not because of the message. See, but Jesus was fasting, and here's what fasting does. Here's what it does for me. It puts you in a low place so that you are more sensitive to the issues of pride within your life. See, when I'm in that low place physically, I can feel my emotions go like this a whole lot quicker than when I'm full. When I'm full, I just bumble into stuff and say stupid things and just end up hurt. But when I'm low and when I'm not where, you know, where I'm physically kind of weak, I am more sensitive to kind of the up and down nature of my ego. And Jesus knew, I can't do this. This was appealing to his ego. I mean, haven't you ever felt that? You know, hey, we all strive to be the best. We all strive for excellence. We all strive, you know, hey, I want to do the best that I can. And that's a good thing. And God puts that within us to strive, to do well at whatever it is that we want that is upon our heart, that He's placed within our heart. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But what happens when you don't get the acknowledgement? When you don't get the nod? When people overlook you? What happens to that ego then? It goes like this. It jumps up. It jumps up. And when we're in that low place, we're able to say, okay, that's my ego. That's this ego that's jumping up. Lord, put that thing down. Bring that thing into the right place. I don't want to jump. I want to be able to rejoice when I don't get first place. I want to be able to rejoice with the guy that gets first place. The guy that gets the acknowledgement. I don't want to have to criticize him or her to make me, to lift me up. I mean, how many times do we do that? Somebody else gets the acknowledgement, somebody else gets the promotion, whatever, and we tell other people or we tell ourselves how bad that person is. What's that? That's this ego thing that's inside of us. So fasting gets us into this low place, gives us power over our pride, over our ego. It also gives us power over compromise. Look at verses 8 through 10. And so finally, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Again, this is fascinating to me. Shows him the kingdoms of the world at once, and he shows them their glory, that is, all of their wealth and their power. And he says, I will give it all to you. That includes Rome, the Roman government. I will give it all to you if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And the devil went away. Satan was saying, I will give you the allegiance of the world if you'll just give me your allegiance. You don't have to go through all that mess. Bow the knee, just compromise. And here's what fasting does for me. It, again, not only helps me be sensitive to my ego, but it also makes me more sensitive to compromise in my life. Because, again, when I'm full and when I'm just end up in places I don't need to end up because I've got a full belly. But when I'm depleted, when I'm empty, I can feel when I'm beginning to compromise. And listen, I tell you, He is always pelting us with different shades of gray. Different shades of gray. It's not that far off white. He doesn't hit us with just the dark necessarily, the thing that's obvious. He hits us with these different shades of gray. And so being in that weak place physically makes us more sensitive to the compromise we might be walking into. Every day Satan bombards us with those opportunities of compromise. A little here, a little there. And what it does, it gives him a building permit to our life. Fasting puts us in that place where we're more sensitive. Okay, let me give you a few more final suggestions here. Turn now to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, and then we're going to spend about 5 minutes meditating upon James chapter 1. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So we see the example of fasting of Jesus, and then we see Jesus' teaching on fasting here. And he'd been talking about prayer, and now he moves into fasting. In verse 16, and when you fast, say that with me, and when you fast. So it's understood that you're going to fast. This will be a part of your life. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, and I'll add, and brush your teeth. Okay? You can do that. Verse 18. Let's look at, is it on the screen? Can you put verse 18 on the screen? Okay, the second sentence. Then no one will notice that you are fasting. Read with me. Except your Father, who knows you do in private, and your Father... Okay, so there's a promise attached to fasting right there. Nobody sees it. I mean, people are going to know about it. Certainly, we're talking about it here. That's not a problem. But they're not going to know what you're doing, but your Heavenly Father does. And what's He going to do? He will what? Reward you for your fasting. Let me give you a few final suggestions about fasting. First is this: focus on Jesus when you fast. You think that's a no-brainer. But I'm telling you, if you're fasting from food, you're going to be thinking about food, okay? If you're fasting from Cokes and you're fasting from sweets, you're going to be thinking about Cokes and sweets. You just will. I mean, if that's not something you eat or drink, then you won't. But if you do, you'll be thinking. So when that starts happening, you think, man, I'm hungry. I'll never forget one day I was fasting, and they were out here barbecuing for like an epiphany. I'm like, oh, God, of all days, I'm fasting. And so all I thought about was barbecue the whole day long, you know? So I don't know. When you're fasting and those temptations come up, then just begin thinking, okay, not temptations, but when those, oh man, I'm hungry. You think, okay, let me think about Jesus. Let me think about what Jesus has done for me. Let me think about what He's doing for me. Let me think about His return. Think, just again, make that mind shift. Begin to think about Jesus. Rewire, that's what I have. Rewire your thinking. Secondly, don't be legalistic. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now. Point at them and tell them that. Don't be legalistic. Okay? This is not an international treaty that you're doing, okay? All right? So if you mess up, okay, just start again. Say, man, the Sunday looks good, you know? Ice cream sundae looks good. I think I'm just going to eat it, you know? And you eat it and you think, man, I'm such an awful person. Just think, God forgive me, move on, okay? And I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm not saying go to the book. What I'm saying is, if you mess up, don't be legalistic about this thing. I know some people, it's like when they mess up, it's like, man, I'm just awful. I'm terrible. Come on, get over that. That's childlike thinking. Think like an adult. Move on with it. Don't be caught up into legalism. Remember, the purpose of the fast is not just to go without food or whatever it is. The purpose of the fast is what? Draw near to God and He will draw near. That's the purpose of the fast. I'm drawing near to God so He'll draw near to me. This is a good one. Here's the third one and I guess the last one for you. It's actually kind of a two-parter. Don't laden your fast with huge expectations, nor expect immediate results. Don't laden your fast with huge expectations, nor expect immediate results. Now, those results may come immediately. But here's what I have seen over the years. People say, man, I'm going to fast and pray. Pastor, I'm fasting, praying for 40 days, 40 nights, whatever it is, and I'm believing God for this. And sometimes God answers and comes through, and they get excited, and there's the word right then and there. But more often than not, they don't get it. It's like, what was all that about? What was all that about? What I'm saying is, let the foundation of what you're trying to do to be, I'm using this time to draw near to God. I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for Willow, I'm praying for my family, I'm praying for this nation, that we would all draw near to God because of the promise, He will draw near to me. That's it. Now, yes, I need a word about my finances. I need a word about my children. I need a word about, what's going on in my work life. I need a word. God, I need a word for these things. He knows that. But Lord, most of all, I want to know You. I've seen people, because they put their expectations so high, if God doesn't come through, it's like that was a complete waste of time. It is not a waste of time. Draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Usually you don't reap the benefits of the fast until later. At least that's been my experience. Sometimes it happens in the middle of the fast. A lot of times you don't experience it until after the fast. God will move in your life as a result of the fast. And put it on the screen again. I see it right there. Let me put it up here. That Matthew 6:18. There it is. And read the last sentence with me. And your Father who sees everything, He will what? He will reward you. That is a promise. A promise that He gives us. Be patient. You may not see it immediately, but God says He will reward you. So what I'd like for us to do right now, if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. If you want to go to your email, if you get the church updates from us, go to your email accounts, do that, and see if it's in there, James chapter 1. And we're going to take about 5 minutes. And what I'd like for you to do is to read through all of James 1 quickly. But as you're reading, ask the Holy Spirit to point out a verse or two that you need to then go back later and meditate on. So read through it quickly, see what leaps out at you, and then go back to that and begin to pray that out to God for yourself or for whomever He puts on your heart. So Darren, if you've got some little music we can play as a background, that'd be great. Amen. Amen. Let's take this serious, okay? Let's don't just be flipping about it during these 28 days. I'd encourage you every Sunday be here, okay? I realize things may come up. You may not be able to make it. But be here every Sunday as we take this this time to set our new vision as a family, as a church family for the Lord. Amen. Somebody special I want to introduce today. He is our newest Marine. Let me just put it that way. Newest Marine. We're so glad to have him with us. Jesse, where are you? No, you're here. Jesse Autry, stand up. Got through boot camp just a couple of weeks ago. Proud of him. Amen. So happy for Mike and Sandy. Sandy made it through boot camp as well, standing alongside in prayer for her son. It's an exciting time. Y'all, congratulate him as we leave this afternoon. Let's stand together.